Thank you, Emil. I feel like I'm under pressure not to take off my mask since everybody is. No, because of the steam coming up through my mask, and I can't see my manuscript. So I have to take off my mask. Now, many of you may know that this is still the season of Lunar New Year. Usually, Chinese celebrate the Lunar New Year until the 15th. And today is the fifth day, and I still would like to talk about the story of Lunar New Year. Now, before I say this, I have to let you know, Pastor Sam is not among us in the church today because he failed the test. No, our test, okay? He has a slight sore throat, but because we have this mandate and he has to stay home, please remember him in your prayer. I don't think he has COVID, but because we have the four questions. And, so, okay. Okay, let's get back. The Jews celebrate actually four New Years. There are two major and two minor New Years. Now, the most celebrated is Rosh Hashanah. It is around September and October, the first day of the seventh month, according to Jewish calendar. This is the day to celebrate the first day of creation. Rosh Hashanah is to celebrate the first day of creation. This is the most important New Year celebration for the Jews. On that day, Jews will blow the horns and make offerings to God. The 10th day of the seventh month is the day of atonement, and the 15th day begins the Feast of the Tabernacle. And so they have all this the whole month long to celebrate. The next important New Year is around March and April. In Jewish calendar, it is called the month of Nisan. The Jewish lunar calendar is different from the Chinese lunar calendar, though both are lunar calendar. Now, God set up the first day of Nisan, the first day of a year. So, according to the law of Moses, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you, the first month of your year. This is Nisan. So the Bible calls it the first day of the first month. I have chosen the scripture regarding the first day of the first month as the text for today. There are actually eight passages there. From the scripture, we see God's expectation of us in the new year, because in all these eight verses, there's a pattern. Shall we pray together? Oh God, our Lord, we thank you because as we approach a new year, we remember you. For most of us who come from Southeast Asia, Lunar New Year is still a big day. And we come to you to celebrate because we experience newness. Lord, we take this day as a day of celebration and also a day of looking up to you for the newness you are going to give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before the Israelites began their exodus from Egypt, God told Moses and Aaron, Nisan is to be the first month of the year. From then on, Jews made the first day of Nisan the beginning of their civil year. The year of the king has been calculated from that day. The calculation of the Sabbath year, it means every 7 years, and the year of Jubilee is the same. So you started in the first day of the first month of the Jubilee year. So, but what does it mean? The first day of the first month. The first day of the first month is actually a signal for renewal. This is a new beginning. We are to welcome the new. And as we read down further, we can see that idea more clearly. The first recorded first day of the first month was in the days of Noah, the story of rebirth after the great disaster. Let us revisit the Noah story a little bit here. Genesis 6:5 recorded, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. In a few verses down, God continued to say, I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. Now, the scripture uses stern words to describe the wickedness of human race there. It says that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So it means none whatsoever they did was not evil. Now, though the outcome might be good, yet it could still be evil. The simple fact is that there is evilness in the heart of those people. In reality, one cannot say everything that came out of the wicked human race were evil. It's impossible, because somehow, in some way, we are not doing something evil or making it evil to somebody. But it's the intention, it's the heart that we bend towards that counts. Now, however, it is impossible to judge one by the things one does. Charity could be just a means of self-gratification, and helping others could just be a long-term investment. We all know that. However, God sees through the hearts of our desire. I cannot help but to remember Paul's confession in Philippians 1. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. That's Philippians. If one can have evil intentions in evangelism, what prevents one from any other doing? This is the evilness of human heart. This is a rotten to the core apple, a rotten to the core race. God had no choice but to wipe out the whole nation. Only Noah's family was left. God is not only for the destruction of the wickedness. He is also the God of restoration. At the right time, in the right place, God will raise a new race from the remnants of the race. God will provide Noah and his family to be restored. First we read, now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark. And look, and behold, the surface of the ground was dry up. Now, unfortunately, the English translation in NIV did not translate one word, which is actually rather critical in Hebrew text. This is the word behold. Now, we will deal with it later. Now, but if we continue to read, the first day of the first month is not the day of complete renewal. The first day of the first month is actually a day of announcement. Now, in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you. birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Now, then we find that not everything was renewed on that first day of the first month. Genesis 8:14 and 17 continues. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and the wives, bring out every kind," and da 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 da. Only after 57 days, the ground is dry enough for Noah and the animal to get out of the ark and begin their new lives. The first day of the first month is only the day of announcement. But still, the first day of the first month is the starting point. Even though Noah was not able to get out of the ark, but this is the day God called Noah, "Hey, come up to the deck of the ark. Look, the ground is dry. Here, we are going to begin." The Hebrew word "behold" in verse 13 is a transitional word to signify a new section. The meaning is not so much of looking and seeing something with our naked eyes, though even though the translation is "behold," but the Hebrew word is to bring out a new perspective. It points to something the reader should be mindful of. In another word, the Bible is trying to tell us to be mindful. Hey, come up and look. This is something important for you to see. Behold, the surface of the ground has dried up. The first day of the first month is to tell us a new age is to dawn. Get ready for this new age and new life. God is restoring the land and He will provide you with new grace. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma and the Lord said to Himself, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done while the earth remains. Seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease." God is blessing, and God was blessing this new family, this new earth. God wiped out those before me, but now He has promised not to punish us like before. He will give us new grace to sustain us, to save us from our own wickedness and evilness. Yes, the salvation of God is right in front of us. But are we getting it ourselves? Are we getting ourselves ready? Now, let us read the scripture below. These are the seven verses I have picked. Now, you can see, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. And then, now, in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, the tabernacle was erected. From the first day of the first month of the first year, to the second year. It took one whole year to set up the tabernacle. The first announcement of the first day of the first month is the beginning. And then now they began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they entered the porch of the Lord. Then they consecrated the house of the Lord in 8 days and finished on the 16th day of the first month. They want to cleanse and consecrate the temple on the first day of the first month, but it is not to be finished until the 16th day. For on the first day of the first month, he began to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, they came to Jerusalem because the good hand of his God was upon him. That's Ezra we have read last year. The journey began the first day of the first month, and the journey took 5 months. They finished investigating all the men who had married foreign wives by the first day of the first month. Now, again, the NIV fell short. They have not finished dealing with all the men who have married foreign wives. They have just finished investigating all the men who had married foreign wives. They had just put them on paper. It took them from the 10th month to the first month of the next year to finish the investigation. So how much longer will it take to put away all the wives and their children according the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law? I'm afraid it will take another few months before they have actually dealt with the whole situation. And then the last verse. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first of the month of in the first month of the first day, on the first of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. This is a repeating the command of the law from Exodus for the preparation of Passover. Strictly speaking, the first day of the first month is not the day of renewal. It is the day that God tells us to prepare for the coming renewal. And every new year, many people have their new year resolution. So once you have made up your mind with your new year resolution, does it mean you have success already? You have success with your New Year resolution already? Of course not. It is just a day of beginning. It's just a starting point. And it takes a whole long process. So actually, make our New Year resolution successful. Changes don't happen overnight. Change is actually a long process. We are not just chemicals. Okay, you put this chemical onto that chemical, and then there's instant change. No. Human change takes time. Human change is a process. Along the process, we mark different milestones. Yes, we do. But when the change is complete, it's a long way. But along the way, we can always experience God's grace. Without that starting point, we wouldn't know that God's grace is upon us. I have a friend from Wenzhou, China. And he came not from a Christian family. He came from a very ordinary Chinese family. So he didn't know Christ from his childhood up. When he was 17, he was sick with an incurable disease. It is not cancer or anything. It's just that nobody knows what is bothering him, what was affecting him. The doctor would not know, and they have no way to treat him. Now, this guy who came from Wenzhou, which is one of the wealthiest county or the city in China, they have money. They have sent him everywhere to look for treatment. They went to the center of China, Shanghai, Beijing, they couldn't find a cure, let alone what's wrong with him. While he was dying, and people will come to him and his parents say, okay, you go worship this God, worship that God, you make offering to this God and to that God. And he has done every recommendation he was given. At the end, still, nothing happened. And then, he has an aunt. Just tell him, his aunt told him, now you have tried every God and goddess, gods and goddesses, and you have tried every doctor. Why didn't you try this Jesus? Out of desperation, okay, I'll try Jesus. And so he accepted Jesus as Christ, as God, as Savior. I don't think he did that with the kind of faith we have. He probably is just trying another God. But it so happened, it's completely well after that. Now, this is a starting point. This is a starting point for him. From then on, he began to read the Bible. He went to church, and he grew in faith. And one day he had decided, oh, I'm so blessed. I need to tell people about God. So he committed his life to be a full-time minister. After that, now for most of the minister in China, if you are good, from time to time, the religious bureau will come to you and take you for tea, yam cha. They will bring you in to the bureau for tea. And when we sit down and talk, and he mentioned about how many times every few months he will be invited to go to the religious bureau and have tea. Okay, quote unquote have tea. Okay. And now, the starting point was rather dramatic, but still, it's just a starting point. The real Christian life only begins. And along the way, he experienced God one time after another when he was invited to the religious bureau to have tea. Actually, he was interrogated. Yeah, as we all know, it means he was interrogated and threatened. And slowly, his faith grew. It's not that he was healed from near death. His faith grew. His faith grew even stronger and stronger after every time he was interrogated. Sometimes we look at the first day of the first month or the starting point and said, oh, this is important, but actually, this is only a starting point. And the starting point will give us a milestone. And this is a time that we can begin to get ourselves ready. If we are looking for a starting point that is be very fruitful, we may be disappointed. A lot of us started out as a very ordinary Christian. Some was born in a Christian household, and our conversion is most likely not very dramatic. But as you grow in Christ, along this way, you will learn to grow in faith. And a lot of times, when I am reading the book of Acts, people, when they read the book of Acts, they want to find out, is there any secret there in the book of Acts that will grow the church? What did they do right so that the church grow? wow, the church grew tremendously, okay? But think about that. All the apostles did was went up to the upper room, wait, and pray, okay? They did not do anything spectacular. They did not do anything, or they don't have any secret, actually. We do the same thing too, right? We pray together. We break bread together regularly, okay? But then the day come, the day of Pentecost come. They went to the temple because that's the day usually Jews will go to the temple. The Holy Spirit descended. The Holy Spirit came. Most likely they have not prepared themselves for anything. They did not decide, okay, this is a secret. Let's speak in tongues and people will look upon us. Let's decide to speak in tongues. This is a secret of great evangelism. No. They were not prepared. It just happened. They went to the temple. The Holy Spirit came and they began to speak in tongues. They did not do it. God did it. Oh, so Peter and John was filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to preach. 3,000 become Christians on that day. Oh, we have to preach so that people can become Christians. I don't think Peter and John has planned to preach on that day. Just the Holy Spirit moved him. The Holy Spirit moved people and come to Christ. It's not what we did. However, there is a starting point. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told the apostles, go back to Jerusalem and wait. So they went back to Jerusalem and wait. They get themselves ready. They know they have to get themselves ready. The first day of the first month is a time we change our mindset. Let's get myself ready. When the time comes, God's work is to be completed. Not by me, but by himself through me. There's no secret. It's where my heart is pointing at. The secret is, am I pointing my heart towards God? Am I getting myself ready? And am I ready to be renewed by God and begin a new journey? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you because you always remind us in this new year, get ourselves ready to traverse this journey of faith. At the right time, in the right place, you will show us your work. Lord, open our eyes to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.